seated, number 274. Joy that I announce today our brother priest William Malone to stand before you, and I hope that you will give him your prayers. God shall support him and support this local and guide him as he endeavors to fulfill his obligations. And now our brother Bill Malone.
It's been a long time since I've stood behind this sacred desk. I recall the events of last Sunday, and for all of you who are there, I'm sure you felt the same beautiful spirit that I felt. I don't think anybody that was there could deny the power of the Spirit that was there for each one of us. We had a beautiful service where God spoke to us through one of His servants. He called a couple gentlemen to the ministry, one to an office of an elder, and called another to an office of a teacher, and spoke to a few others. One of those few others was me. When he spoke to me, he spoke a little bit different than he did to the other people. In that he rebuked me. Usually when I get rebuked by somebody, one of the first things that I feel is probably anger. just kind of put a chip on your shoulder just instantly when anybody starts to rebuke you. I think it's possibly common to most of us. If somebody starts rebuking us, we're kind of on the edge and kind of defensive about it. But I didn't get the slightest bit upset or defensive, because when I heard that word rebuke, I thought, who would be more befitting of a rebuke than me at that particular time? I tried taking a lot of shortcuts. But when you try to go from that straight and narrow path, I think we all know that the shortest distance between two points is in a straight line. And it's hard to take shortcuts when you deviate from the straight and the narrow path. Because if you're not going straight, it's going to take you a little longer to get there. I accepted that rebuke. It could have gone on, I'm sure, for some time with that rebuke, listing my faults and some of the things that I've done and that I needed to be talked to about. But it told me that God cares about me. And if He cares about me, I know He cares about each one of you. Our brother stood and he spoke and had the gift of tongues. It's a gift that is not real commonplace here in our church like it supposedly is in some of the other churches that we hear about. But I witnessed it before. And I know that the Spirit of God was moving upon that man, one of our apostles, and He was moving upon each one of us who are in the congregation. I didn't know what He was saying when He was speaking in tongues. I saw Him look over at me, and I was hoping He wasn't talking to me. I knew Ed was sitting back one row, and I kept thinking, I hope he's talking to Ed. But he was looking awful direct over in my direction. When he gave that interpretation of what was said during the gift of the tongues, he called me William. And later, our brother Don, as he stood up and explained a little bit of his feelings and what had taken place, he said he knew that God had called me William. We had two other brothers who stood and testified that during the speaking in tongues, I don't know if they understood anything else, but they understood the word William. I didn't. So I have no doubt about the authenticity of the blessing that we received that Sunday. I know I received a blessing. was reading in 1 Corinthians in the 14th chapter. And I read something in there that really puzzled me about speaking in tongues. In the 22nd verse it says, "Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." And I think probably most of us, if we were to look at that, and the first thought that would come to our mind is, I think you would probably be puzzled also why it is worded like that. But the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, I'm not a disbeliever, but there are a lot of times I have doubts in my mind. There's a lot of times when men say something behind this pulpit, I feel like perhaps it's just their thoughts. It's not really Christ's teachings. But in any event, I can see how it does apply to me. But that gift of tongues was for me because I didn't have the belief that I know that I should have at that particular time. There's a lot more written about it in those few chapters there in Corinthians. In the 14th chapter, it speaks quite a bit about it. I recall the events that took place on March 23rd, 1980. Quite often I recall those events with a bit of terror and anguish. An event took place that day that has affected everyone in this room in one way or another. That's the day that my son Darren was injured in an accident. I had a lot of doubts during those next few days and weeks that followed that accident. I felt like I believed sufficiently that, and I knew God had promised that if you believe in miracles, they'd be granted unto you. Darren was laying in the hospital and pretty serious condition. And I felt after we had had him administered to many times, and this people united in prayer, I feel as strongly as they have been united possibly at any one time in the past. I know that you people felt the same anguish that Karen and I did, that our family did, because we were all one big family. And you felt the same hurts that I felt. And I thought, how could God resist the request that we made in raising up this young lad from this injury? And why did he let that happen to him? He was a good kid. I don't think he deserved that to happen to him. But then there's people every day that die, that are injured. That haven't done anything to warrant being taken away from this world that we know. There's a scripture in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Forty-fifth verse. Christ says, "For he maketh," he's referring to his Father in heaven, "for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." So I feel this didn't take place, this accident didn't take place because of anything that was done on Darren's behalf, or I don't think he was punishing me or you or anybody else here. I think there's things that happen in this world that are commonplace, and it's just part of our existence on this earth. We all have to cope with the situations in life, and how we handle them here is really what it's all about. It's not the situations that confront us, whether we're good or bad, but how we handle each one of these situations. We all know that there's our rewards in this earth are not something that we necessarily earn. And because we're good or bad, there's times when we know that the mob world, for instance, they prosper. They don't prosper because they're good. It's just one of life's situations that happens, whether we understand it or not. It happens. I read in the 7th chapter of Matthew, the 7th and 8th verse, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." I asked, and I didn't receive that which I was asking for. You asked in his behalf, and you didn't receive it. That troubled me. Then when you look at that and isolate it, perhaps to Scripture doesn't mean what it says. But I think it does. I think in order to fully understand the Scriptures, you can't isolate it and take one portion of it and read it and close the book and say, okay, let's do it. We read on a little farther in 21st chapter of Matthew. In the 21st verse. Verily I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. There again, it says pretty much the same thing. There adds a couple notes there. You have to ask in prayer, and you have to ask believing. And you have to ask without doubt. And I thought, perhaps these blessings are withheld. The blessing that we were seeking was withheld because there was doubts on my part or your part. I wasn't sure. I knew that Darren had received a blessing, but he hadn't received the blessing that we were asking for. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, the very first verse, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. We believe in the same God that taught these people back in the time of Christ. He had given his 12 disciples that power to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These disciples that we have today have been given that same power by the same God. And they asked for this illness and this injury to be healed. And it wasn't. Why? You think back to these prayers. They asked for blessings. And Darren did receive blessings. They asked for thy will to be done. And evidently his will was done. I'd like to read in the first chapter, in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Starting with the first verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding bronze or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Was it perhaps that we were short in love? Not for Darren, we know that. I know that. And you know that. Not for God, we love God. Maybe we were short in our love for one another. The question was still burning within me. Why? What is it? What's causing this miraculous healing to be withheld? But I felt that our love was sufficient. Maybe there was some little thing in me or one of you that was responsible for this blessing to be withheld. I hate to think it is, but that was another doubt and a question that I had in my mind. I'd like to read in the fourth chapter of 3 Nephi, page 624. In the second verse it says, "And there was not any man who could do a miracle in the name of Jesus, save he were cleansed every whit from his iniquity." Brought another question to my mind. Was it the people who were doing the administration? Was it our ministry? Was it those who are asking for this miracle in the name of Jesus? Was it because of iniquity that was in their lives? I had a lot of doubts. You know, I don't remember exactly when, but I'm going to guess a couple of years ago. I think it was 2 years ago at reunion time when I had a lot of these doubts in my heart at that particular time. And I found out just Thursday evening, this last Thursday. That because of the doubts that I had in my heart at that time, I was supposed to be rebuked. I had doubts, and I didn't know how to get rid of them. I knew that God could give us this blessing anytime He wanted to, and you know He could. I don't think He withholds a blessing because we have a flickering of doubt in our mind. I think He realizes that doubts are something that is common to man. Everybody has just a flicker of doubt, and I don't think I was to be rebuked for that kind of doubt. There was something else. page 151 in the Book of Mormon. Second chapter, 11th chapter of 2 Nephi, verse 145. For behold, I am God, I am a God of miracles, and I will show unto the world that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith. He did miracles in the past. He's done miracles in our present day. He did a miracle last Sunday. The miracles haven't been taken away. Save it be according to their faith. There it is again. Is it our faith that is withholding it? These conditions of faith that are presented before us in these books and the scriptures. Do we understand them sufficiently? I question sometimes whether I do. I don't think I did in the past. I think I understand them a little bit better now. I kept on reading, and some more thoughts came to mind. The 17th chapter of Matthew. Start with the 14th verse. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and greatly vexed, for often he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Weren't those the same disciples that we read of earlier that he gave the power to cure and to heal? More doubts creep into my mind. But at the same time, I realize there must be more things that I don't understand because they're just not clear to me. The 9th chapter of Mark. Starting with the 23rd verse, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Can you believe and still say, help thou my unbelief? There's another one of those scriptures that puzzled me. I'd like to read in 1 Corinthians. Chapter, starting with the 28th verse. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Another question comes up. Does he have to be administered to by a certain individual, a certain person with the gift of healing? It seemed like the situation just became more puzzling to me. It just wasn't fitting together. Going back to the 7th chapter of Matthew. Twenty-first verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Another curve thrown to me. Surely, somebody who could work miracles and had the gift of healing wouldn't be referred to as a worker of iniquity. But yet that's what it says here. More doubts. And perhaps miraculous healing is not the maximum benefit that we should be seeking. I'd like to read in the 8th chapter in Matthew. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, talking about Jesus, and beheld there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded and for a testimony unto them. When 2 years ago, when we were kneeling in prayer and Darren was being administered to, I was kneeling in prayer just like every one of you who were here at that time. And I felt strong. I knew that when I looked up, I felt very strong that when I looked up that I was going to see Darren stand whole. But he didn't. And I thought to myself, when he is, I'm going to go tell the whole world. Why did Jesus tell this man who was cleansed, See thou tell no man? Why would he do that? He must have had a good reason for it. Why not witness to the whole world? The power that God has. Perhaps part of an answer to that is in the 8th chapter of Luke. The 10th verse. Jesus said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, that hearing they might not understand." Why wouldn't he want somebody to be able to just see this and understand it, of what's taken place, of what I was hoping that would take place, and I know you were hoping it would take place. Why wouldn't God give this blessing? Why would we have somebody withhold information about such a blessing and not tell anybody? Maybe the world's not ready for it. Maybe I don't understand. Maybe some of the others of you out there don't understand some of these things that are in the scriptures. There's a lot there to understand. In the 26th chapter of Matthew, the 53rd verse, this is Christ, and he's in the garden. This is when Judas has betrayed him. In the 53rd verse, he says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" I know, and I'm sure that all of the, by what we read farther on, the disciples and the people that followed Christ didn't understand what was taking place and didn't understand his reasons. They knew that Christ had power to call 12 legions of angels. They knew it. There was no doubt. They'd seen all kinds of miracles done, but yet he didn't do it. And they didn't understand it. But we know that there was a reason for it. Maybe there's another purpose for us. I think I've learned a lot of lessons from what's taken place over the last few years concerning this particular item that I'm talking about today. His purpose would not have been fulfilled at that particular time if he'd have called those angels and delivered him. In the 39th verse, just in that same chapter, Jesus is praying to his Father, and he says, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Thy will be done. You know, we've heard that in our prayers, in the prayers that have been offered during administration, the prayers that have been offered in Darren's behalf for several years now, from the very first day until current. We've asked thy will be done. Maybe he's answered our prayers. As long as we put thy will be done in there. In the Lord's Prayer, you can read it in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Christ instructed us very plainly in that prayer. Those few verses encompass a lot of thoughts. In the 2nd chapter of Corinthians, there we go again. In the 2nd Corinthians, 12th chapter, one of these times I'll get it right. Starting with the 7th verse, this is Paul speaking. And he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." The first chapter of James, 2nd verse. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing." I don't think any of us can deny that Darren has been richly blessed. I know that all of us will continue to make it a matter of prayer that he will be lifted up. And I feel so strongly that he will. I can almost say that with a knowledge. And I think you can. Because God doesn't change. He's given us these promises. He's given us a lot of instruction. He's told us in these scriptures to ask. And he's told us in these scriptures not only to ask for the blessings, to ask for his will to be done. Sometimes I feel we need to do like Paul had to do. We need to accept these things that they happen. That they'll continue to happen. And how we handle them. That's what God wants to see, is how we handle these things. Someday he'll be lifted up. It might be today. Might be next week. Might be next year. It might not be till Christ comes again. But I've accepted. The fact that he has been blessed and God has heard our prayers. And someday we'll understand his reasons for doing things the way that he does. Someday we'll understand his time frame. And I don't think that day is very far away. Scriptures tell us of things that are going to take place in the last days. And we can see these things happening every day. Let us be mindful of the message that he's told me, and I think he's trying to tell all of us. We need to abide by his time frame. Darren's a happy little kid. He's been a blessing to all of us. Nobody loves him any less because of what happened to him. And he loves everybody. He doesn't have an enemy in the world. Not one. Someday he'll stand tall. See it. I'd like to close with a prayer. It's a prayer that I'm sure you've heard. It's a prayer of serenity. God, give me strength and courage to change the things I can, serenity to accept those things I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you for your attention.